Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Stogan and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogan and Beer Radio Show. Stogan and Beer is broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, WBEST, Chula Vista, California. Time on deck is 8:13 a.m. And Stogan and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and talk about the sport he or she loves the most. We talk a lot about football because this is an NFL talk show, but we also cover NBA, NCAA, NHL, MLB, NFL, spring football, United States Football League, XFL. So, and we talk about anything that comes across the monitor as a sport. We talk about pie-eating contests, camel racing, dog racing, hot dog-eating contests, mud wrestling, WWE, UFC, boxing, anything that comes across the monitor of the sport, we'll talk about it. If you don't know what we're talking about, we'll kindly teach you. If we don't know what you call in to talk about, you can kindly teach us. All right, with that being said, today's topic is Tuesday night NBA action recap. The hosts will debate pro armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love and also the episode topic. which is Tuesday night NBA action recap. And we'll do this in front of a live global listening audience, meaning you. Topics to include, but not limited to, the Lakers versus the Knicks, scores from NBA, NCAA, NHL, and breaking news from the NFL and MLB. Let's segue over into the NFL. People, we got some breaking news this morning. The great one, the GOAT, Tom Brady, has announced that he is retiring. It is official. He's done. He's not coming back. So don't look for him in the next 22 days to say, hey, I'm coming back to play. It's over. He said it's over. It's over. It's done. He's accepted it. It's over. It's done. I believe him. I believe him. He came back, won a Super Bowl without Bill Belichick. He got a big mega TV contract, I believe, waiting on him with Fox Sports. And Tom Brady, the TB12 brand is set. The TB12 brand is set, and he doesn't have to do a whole lot. He doesn't have to do a whole lot more stuff, people. The TB12 brand is set up the way it needs to be set up for him to be successful moving on into his future. It's time for him to go ahead on and be a great father, be a great soccer dad, be a great Pop Warner football dad, get with his family, mom, his mother, his father, you know, if that still applies, and, you know, be around them as they live out their days. Maybe he can work things out with his wife, his ex-wife, rather. Maybe they can work things out. Maybe they can reconcile. I certainly hope so. If there's something that he wants to do and something that she wants to do, I certainly hope that they can make that thing happen. It's official. The great Tom Brady has announced retirement this morning. This breaking news is all across the monitor. They're trying to see where he stack up amongst the GOATs of all time, the Serena Williams, the Derek Jeters, all these great athletes over time. They're trying to see where does he stack up at amongst the great ones. But, you know, happy day but sad day. You know, they're trying to see where he ranks amongst LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, Serena Williams. And, you know, Tom Brady's right there in that echelon again. You got Tom Brady, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, Serena Williams. These are the GOATs in all the major U.S. sports. These are the GOATs. So they're trying to see where he stacks up at. But, you know, I mean, he's right there with them. He's right there with all of them. He played the toughest sport it is to play. When I mean toughest sport, physically toughest sport, because any given Sunday you can get really banged up playing the sport of professional football. And that's at any level. But he played at the highest level of competition. So, yeah, I mean, that's what's out there. The great one. The great one's retiring. That's what they're saying this morning, that the great one is calling it a day. He's saying that it's official. He's not coming back. Don't look for him to come back. He's done. So, you know, it's something. You know, right before the Super Bowl, you know, we get news like this that breaks. We get news like this that breaks across the monitor on this February the 1st. I don't know if this was something planned or what. You know, like he kind of got a little testy with one of his people on his talk show the other day, to where he was like, "Hey man, I'm gonna be honest. If I knew what I was going to do, I'd have freaking told you by now." He used some other colorful language, which I can't use on my platform. But like you said, if he knew what he was going to do, he'd have already told everybody by now. So I guess that's fair. I guess that's fair. Before I move on, I want to apologize to everybody. The late night dog was a little late to the office this morning. I was doing some traveling on yesterday, and I wasn't in place directly this morning in the office, so I want to apologize for being a little about 10 minutes or so tardy this morning. But nevertheless, I came to work. I didn't call off. I know my listeners, they want to hear the late night dog banter about as a pro armchair quarterback talking about the sports he loves, and so I made sure I got to the office. But again, this is why I've been looking for a news desk assistant, because some days if I'm not directly on time, if I get tied up, I have my news desk assistant that can fill in and cover as the host until I get in place to join the show. But just a tip again, like I always give out, when you're an entrepreneur, always try to have a staff of people that you're working with. If possible, if you're a corporation, try to have a board that you're working with, a financial board to help make decisions and things like that to make the show better. You don't want to always be the smartest person in the room. And at the same time, you know, make sure that you got a staff of people, once again, that you're working with on a radio show format. You need your host, you need your audio director, you need your news desk director, and, you know, news desk director / co-host, and then you need certain sports contributors, like my man DC from Maryland that calls in all the time to add color to the show. You need different components to the show. Don't try to be a one-man show like the Late Night Dog, and don't try to do these shows by yourself, because if you're sick, the show is sick. If you got something to do, the show got something to do. If you're late, the show is late. If you can't come to work that day, the show can't come to work that day. So I'm always have other people on your staff to fill in for you to make your show great. That's just a tidbit from the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies to be a radio show. All right, going back to the topics, Tuesday night NBA action recap for those of you just tuning in. The host of the Bay Pro Armchair Quarterbacks will go on the sports they love, and also the episode topic, which is Tuesday night NBA action. In NBA action yesterday, we had the Lakers defeated the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden. Lakers over the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. And that score was Lakers 129, Knicks 123. Lakers 129, Knicks 123. LeBron James had 28 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists, 28, 10, and 11. Jalen Brunson had 37.6 assists. Jalen Brunson seems to have had a good game. Across the monitor, they're complaining that LeBron James, you know, should have had a better game than he had. Some of the media experts are saying, "Oh, LeBron James, he should have had a monster game. He should have been more dominant." You know, it was prime time, nationally televised game. And when I say nationally televised, as far as cable goes, nationally televised game through TNT, and they were just saying that one media expert was saying that he should have had a more monster game. He only put up 28 points. Well, I say this: if he put up 28 points, he damn near had 30 points. Which is what kind of like just shy off the mark of what DC was saying on the show yesterday. If you heard the show yesterday, you heard DC from Maryland say that the Lakers were in a winnable game. They definitely could definitely see them winning the game, and he could see LeBron James getting about, you know, 30 plus points. Well, he came shy from 32 points off of 30. And the game went into overtime as well. So, I mean, it looks like the Knicks came to play as well, because it wasn't a blowout game. The game went to overtime, and they did hold LeBron to 28 points. So, you know, with that being said, I wouldn't expect it any more out of LeBron, you know. I mean, he played hard in the Boston game Saturday night, took the last game off against the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets, he took that game off, and then he went to the and then he wound up going and playing tonight, last night, against the Knicks in Madison Square Garden. So he was rested, but we got to keep in mind his training staff is saying he has a sore foot. That was verified by the coach, Darwin Ham, saying that LeBron James does have a sore foot. So, I mean, you know, it is what it is. The Lakers beat the Knicks coming across the monitor. Lakers beat the Knicks 129-123 in overtime. LeBron passes Mark Jackson, Steve Nash to move into fourth all-time in assists. LeBron passes Mark Jackson and Steve Nash to move to fourth all-time in assists. How impressive is this accomplishment for King James? I'm not a stats guy, but, I mean, it's impressive. I mean, you're talking about players like Mark Jackson who played for the Knicks. And you talk about a player like Steve Nash, who definitely was a baller coming out of Canada. Definitely is a baller. He played all those years with, I believe he started out with the Dallas Mavericks, then got traded to the Phoenix Suns and balled out. You know, you talking about Steve Nash. I think you remember about Steve Nash when he was playing, when he got his nose broken in the playoffs, got that broken nose bleeding all over the place, but he kept trying to get it. He kept trying to play with that broken, bloody nose. So, yeah. that's coming across the monitor. LeBron passes Mark Jackson, Steve Nash, to move into fourth all-time in assists. Who do we have the other night that is the assist leader? I'm trying to remember the other day. We had somebody that became, I believe, number one in assists. They beat out Gary Payton. I'm just trying to remember who this was. It'll come back to me. It'll come back to me as I go through these scores. But, yeah, we had somebody Sunday night, whoever played Sunday night, someone passed up Gary Payton to go number one, I believe, in assists, or they go 10th all time. Calling into the show to Quirk, I think whoever made a assist record the other day, they moved into 10th place over Gary Payton, if I'm correct. I'm just trying to figure out who that was. It's still early, and those of you that follow the show know the late night dog. I have to get a cup of coffee in him before he gets gets all his points factual as they can. So I don't want to make a mistake and just throw a name out there. If you want to help me out, call in the 515-602-9687. Call in the 515-602-9687. Just trying to see who was it Sunday night that passed Gary Payton up as an assist. As far as the stats go, I'm not a stats guy. Some of these stats are just kind of like, what do they really mean? I think they, for this one, for assists, I think they really done this one for more so the point guard versus the shooting guard, because the point guard is like the quarterback on the basketball court. The point guard is the quarterback in this sport, and he's dishing the ball out. So I guess they have to make it to where, okay, if he passes the ball to the right spot and the player scores, then we got to count that as an assist because the point guard, which is this sport's quarterback, knows where to put the ball for us to score. So, you know, I get it, but it's just some of these stats, some of these records, some of these stats and some of these records, all these analytics and all this stuff is just, it's a new day because it's a lot of people, as I learned in my global sports management course. It's just a lot of people out there that's interested in these type of topics, you know, stuff like, oh, who had the most assists in a 5-game stretch in history, stuff like that. It's some people out there that watch sports, and that's intriguing to them. All these little stats within a stat, records within a record, that's really not me. I don't really watch sports like that. I watch sports for wins, losses, and championships. That's what I care about. Wins, losses, championships. But to each his own, because like I said, I learned in global sports management. I got my certificate from Yellow Brick Learn online and New York University, Global Fundamentals of Global Sports Management. And then they had a whole segment on data analytics. And in data analytics, you got all this stuff about, all these different little stats. You know, like I said, okay, in a 5-game stretch, who has the most assists in a 5-game stretch after an injury in NBA history? Stuff like that. And I'm just like, why is that important? But it's important to somebody. That's why we have all this stuff, because somebody out there is interested in it. And I'm fine with it because it creates a job for somebody somewhere. So anyway, kudos to those who keep track of stuff like that, all these stat nerds, as I call you. Anyway, let's go back into some more NBA scores. Last night we had the Miami Heat 100 over the Cleveland Cavaliers 97. Miami Heat 100, Cleveland Cavaliers 97. Evan Mobley, 19.7 rebounds. Mobley, 19.7 rebounds. And who else we got here? Again, we had the Lakers over the Knicks 129-123. LeBron James, 28 points. Jalen Brunson, 37 points. All right. Then we had the Clippers, 108, and Bulls, 103. Clippers over the Bulls, 108-103. Again, Clippers, 108 over the Chicago Bulls, 103. And Kawhi Leonard had 33 points in that one. Kawhi Leonard had 33 points, 5 steals. He had a good defensive game, 5 steals. 33 points, 5 steals for Kawhi Leonard. Also in NBA action, we had the Charlotte Hornets fell to the Milwaukee Bucks. Milwaukee Bucks 124, Charlotte Hornets 115, Bucks 124, Hornets 115. Excuse me, in NBA action. We had the Denver Nuggets defeated my New Orleans Pelicans 122-113. I'm not happy about that. Nuggets 122, Pelicans 113. And Jokic, 26 points, 18 rebounds, 15 assists. He went 26, 18, and 15. That was a good game for Jokic. 26 points for Jokic, 18 rebounds, and 15 assists. And a win against the Pelicans. Nuggets, 122, Pelicans, 113 again. We still don't have Zion Williamson back, and we only have, and we just got Ingram back, Brandon Ingram. So we're still working out some things. You know, we got C.J. McCollum on the floor. Herb Jones is after Herb Jones, had 21 points last night, 5 steals. But it's just one of those things, you know, when you don't have your when you've been missing your two best players, which is Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson, and right now they're not on the court together because Ingram is back, just got back, working off the rust. I think he's been out for like 2 months in a concussion protocol or something, if I'm correct. You got Zion Williamson. He has some kind of a hamstring strain or something, if I'm correct. If I'm wrong about that, call into the show to correct me. But when you don't have a player the caliber of Zion Williamson, who they were trying to say he's not an all-star because he missed a lot of games. Oh, he's an all-star because when he's on the court, the things that he's doing for a man his size, to me, has been amazing. He's been dominant when he's playing, like about 40 points a game type of dominant, if I'm remembering right. But you can call in to correct me at 515-602-9687. You can call in to correct me or debate me. Excuse me, people, I was yawning on there. The late night dog had a late night. I'm trying to get it together here to give you the best performance I can today. Like I said, had some stuff I had to do yesterday evening that carried on into the late night. But I am the late night dog. it carried over into the late night, but I am the late night dog. Kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokes and Beer Radio Show. And again, for those of you just tuning in, we're talking about Tuesday night NBA action recap. And we'll be getting up into some more scores from NHL, MLB breaking news, NFL breaking news. We already know what the NFL breaking news is today. The great one, the GOAT, Tom Brady on retiring, which trumps NBA news of LeBron James being an all-time passer as he passes Mark Jackson and Steve Nash to move to fourth all-time in assists. How impressive is this accomplishment for King James? It's very impressive. But at the same time, when it comes down to breaking news, Tom Brady retiring, the dead storyline just doesn't trump Tom Brady retiring. The great one called it quits. The great one has called it quits. He said it's official. Don't expect him to come back in 22 days talking about, hey, man, you know, don't expect him to come back in about 40 days of retirement like he did the last time, you know, and say, oh, I changed my mind. I don't see that happening. I don't see it happening at all. I believe he's done for good. I think it's true. And they're saying across the monitor, Tom Brady announces his retirement. This is a real situation. This is not junk news. This is not fake news. The great one is saying that it's a done deal. It's a wrap. So that's a heck of a breaking news story for a February 1st day. You know, I want to say out there to everybody, all my African-American listeners like myself, being an African-American, I want to say happy Black History Month. Happy Black History Month. This is the month to where we're going to be over all the sports networks, all the sports media platforms. We're going to be celebrating the accomplishments of African-Americans in sports. And, of course, in all the regular mainstream news platforms, we're going to be celebrating accomplishments of African-Americans all across the board in all walks of life and in all professions. For me, one of the great people I remember as a sports role was Dr. Charles Drew. Dr. Charles Drew, if I'm correct, created blood plasma. He knew how to basically take blood plasma and make it do what it needs to do. I believe that's pretty much for clotting, for blood clotting and everything like that. He experimented with blood plasma. I don't want to say the word he created blood plasma, because I believe that we all have blood plasma already, but I believe he experimented with blood plasma, and I believe it's to help people when they're to clot, when they get injuries and stuff like that. Well, something like that. I could be wrong. It's been a while, but I just remember as a child, I wrote about Dr. Charles Drew. I remember writing about him, and I was probably like in the fourth or fifth grade writing about Dr. Charles Drew, and I just thought that story was amazing. We also had Matthew Henson, world explorer, who actually was credited as being the first man to ever reach the North Pole, Matthew Henson. He didn't get credit for it. I believe the admiral that he was working for, he beat him to the point. He got to the point first, but he didn't claim it. He waited till they caught up with him, and he claimed it. He allowed the admiral, who was not African American, he was a Caucasian man, and he was of Caucasian descent, and Matthew Henson, an African American explorer, pulled back, and allowed the Caucasian admiral to take credit for being the first man going to the North Pole. You know, because back in those days, you know, sometimes we just had to play second fiddle. You know, back in those days, we had to play second fiddle. We're talking about in like maybe the early 1900s. We're talking about maybe between 1900 and 1920, somewhere up in there, if I'm correct, if I'm remembering it right, or late 1800s to early 1900s. Let's say 1890 to 1810, somewhere up in there. But then the last person I want to talk about, they just had coming across the monitor in sports, was the great Eddie Robinson, the great coach Eddie Robinson from my home state, my area, North Louisiana, at Grambling State University, became the winningest head coach a while back. He became the winningest head coach of college football. Now they like to argue and say the Papa Bear, Joe Paterno, they like to say that he was the most winningest coach in major college football. But, you know, I never looked at it like that, because when a man like Bill Clinton calls you after you get your 600th win, if I'm correct, you got a 600th win. And I think that President Bill Clinton, who was in office at the time, called Eddie Robinson after the game while he was on the field getting interviewed. He called him and said, congratulations, coach, for your 600th win, being the winningest coach in college football history. And it's just amazing, like I said, back in the day, you know, they always had these you know, for African American people, they always had these stipulations. Oh, he's the most winningest coach in college football, but Joe Paterno is the most winningest coach in mainstream college football. I guess they had to look at it, the money aspect of it. The teams that the Joe Paterno was coaching, Penn State, they're on TV, and at the same time, they're also, you know, they have more money coming into their program. You know, Eddie Robinson, you know, coaching at Grambling, he's coaching at a little small black HBCU college. You know, that you know, they don't have a TV contract. Nobody really knows about them. They don't play major powerhouse teams like Penn State, like Nebraska, you know, all those teams back in the day that was, you know, high level. Oklahoma, they're not playing these teams. So, you know, Notre Dame, Colorado, they don't play these teams. So, you know, that's not major college football. Then I think after a while, they dug up some guy that had won more games in football than Coach Eddie Robinson, but he was coaching at the D3 level, a D3 or a D2 level coach, or maybe an NAIA coach, but he had won more games They found some statistics that found records that he had won more games than Eddie Robinson. So they're trying to, you know, and of course that coach was an African American, but they were trying to take that record and say, hey, is he somebody that won more football games than Eddie Robinson? Well, you know, and that's why I say, you know, taking credit from him saying in major college football versus college football, you know, you can't take, they shouldn't have been trying to take that from him. Because number one, when you start talking about this other guy that coached at a level below D1, we're talking about D1 football. D1 football versus D1 football. D1 football, Grambling put in so many guys in the NFL. Coach Eddie Robinson put a lot of guys in the NFL, including Doug Williams, who came here to San Diego, California, and won the Super Bowl right here in San Diego, California. There was the Washington Redskins. I forgot who they were playing. But Doug Williams with the Washington Redskins, at the time the Redskins, now the Washington Commanders. And I believe Doug Williams is still working with that franchise, if I'm correct. Because we spoke sometime last year, or year before last. I believe it was last year we spoke. Yep, not this past July, but the July before that, I was talking with Doug Williams on the telephone. No lie, true story. But anyway, he's with the Washington Commanders right now. But when you start talking about Black history in Division I college football, Coach Eddie Robinson is credited with being the most winningest coach of all time. And I think that record still stands. I don't think Joe Paterno came and even broke his record. I think Joe Paterno even made the joke and said, yeah, the guy was coaching while I was still in diapers. You know, so I guess alluding that he had been in college football for so long. But they tried to make it, they tried to basically take credit from Coach Robinson because, oh, well, he wasn't in major D1. He was D1, but he wasn't in major D1 college football. Well, it doesn't matter. He put a lot of guys in the NFL, a lot of them. Go look at the records. So anyway, to all my African-American listeners out there, that was just my little moment to give homage, to give some love to Black History Month, being the first day of Black History Month. And I'll try to remember every day while I'm on the show to at least bring up one person that's in corporate America and one person that's in the major sports, the big four major sports, including hockey, because in hockey we had Willie O'Ree in the NHL. And then we also have, I'll say Willie O'Ree, but it's been also a couple different African-Americans in the NHL. I'm going to try to do some research and do a little bit on the NHL players because, I mean, even to this day, when you're breaking the color line in hockey, that's still big news to me today, like a guy like P.K. Subban, I believe, that was with the Las Vegas Knights, if I'm correct. But yeah, we're gonna be bringing up some different topics of people in mainstream corporate America and people also in sports for Black History Month. I'm gonna try to have one person up, two people a day that we'll talk a little bit about, just to give respect to all the great ones that came before us, and at the same time, the great ones that are still doing it today, that are breaking records today, making history. So let's get back to it. You know, Tuesday night NBA action recap. Again, last night we had some good games last night. Had some real good games last night, and that was, again, we had Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers defeat the Bulls 108-103. We had the Milwaukee Bucks 124 over the Charlotte Hornets 115, and Giannis the Greek Freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo, I can't say it today, but anyway, Giannis had 34 points, 13 rebounds, 34 points and 18 rebounds, looks like, 34 points, 18 rebounds, hopefully I'm saying that right. If I'm wrong, correct me. My New Orleans Pelicans fell to the Denver Nuggets. Jokic had a big game, 26 points, 18 rebounds, 15 assists. The Nuggets 122 over the Pelicans 113. Kawhi Leonard last night, he had 33 points again. Clippers 108, Bulls 103. Kawhi Leonard 33 points, 5 steals. And let's go back up to the top of my scoreboard. We had some Miami Heat 100, Cleveland Cavaliers 97. Miami Heat 100, Cleveland Cavaliers 97. And we had the Lakers defeated the New York Knicks 129-123. Los Angeles Lakers 129, New York Knicks 123. LeBron James had 28 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists. Jalen Brunson had 37 points, 6 assists. I got to get the stats on Julius Randle. I wonder what he did last night. I'm not seeing much. Not seeing much about Randle yet. But yeah, some good games yesterday. In prime time Nuggets Pelicans. But I mean, you know, I hate when we had these big games and the star players aren't playing. I just hate that we had these big games and the star players, they're not playing in these games. But you know, I know that Zion is hurt. I believe he's dealing with a hamstring, and I've had some hamstring problems, so I already know. If you don't manage those hamstrings the right way, you could be down for a while. I pulled a hamstring in high school. I was taking martial arts, and I was doing some calisthenics, some hard stretching, hard martial arts stretches to make you flexible. And I failed to tell my sensei that I was, you know, felt kind of tight, and they, you know, and I didn't tell them, and they kept stretching me out doing the normal things that we do, and then I was just like, you know, I felt the pull in my hamstring, and you know, I had to learn from that. You got to let your trainers, your coaches, your senseis know that, hey, if you ain't feeling right in that area, you know, to take it easy on you that day. And that was my fault. I pulled my hamstring and I was down for some time, and I didn't have any rehab. I didn't have anybody rehabbing me or anything like that, helping me get through, rehab my leg. Cause we talking about 1990. I'm gonna easily say 1990, 1991, somewhere up in there. And, I'm just a poor kid living in, poor kid living down south in the projects. We didn't have any major rehab situation set up. And even if I did have a place to go and rehab back then wasn't like rehab today. We have today all this different specialized training, specialized trainers, all kind of different sports medicine, sports mechanisms to help an athlete come back way quicker than we did back then. Like, I mean, it took me, I'm going to say it, my hamstring had pulled, and I was walking with my foot turned out until everything got back to normal. And it was just crazy that muscle that pulled, it even affected my groin area. My groin was tight, my hamstring was pulled, and it took a while for to get my leg stretched out to where everything was getting back to normal. I have to give credit to my little sister. She she would take my leg and lift it up for me every day just to stretch that leg out. She lifted up, try to lift it above my head so I could stretch it out. And if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have healed as fast. So my little sister was my trainer. I made her my little rehab person, my physical trainer, because I didn't have anybody else. You know, my big sister, she had left, I believe, and went on to college by that time. And then it was just me as the oldest there. And I had to use my little sister to stretch me out. So I'm just saying all that to say, going back to the NBA, that Zion Williamson, hopefully he won't be out too long, because now with that hamstring injury, I'm quite sure he has the right trainers, and they know his timetable. They know when to bring him back. And I just want to see him get through the whole season this year. Even if they got to rest him until after the All-Star break, I'm doubting that he's going to play in the All-Star game because they got him as a starter, but I'm doubting if he's going to play. I just think he just needs to just relax, rest up, come back after the All-Star break and everything like that, and see where we go from there. Yeah, but I really want to see Zion Williams get through, Williamson get through a whole season. I want to see him get through a whole season this time. Across the monitor, segueing back over into NFL action, Tom Brady announces he is retiring. 7-time Super Bowl champion, 5-time Super Bowl MVP, 3-time NFL MVP, 6-time All-Pro, 15 Pro Bowls. Tom Brady announces he is retiring today. So the great one is retiring. They asked him across the monitor, who do you want with the game on the line, Brady or Joe Montana? Some of these questions the media ask, who do you want with the game on the line, Brady or Joe Montana? I'd love for somebody to chime in and talk about that. If you call into the show at 515-602-9687, just call in, put your hand up in queue, and I'll come to you. If your hand is not up in queue, I won't worry about coming to you. I'll just let you listen. But if you want to talk, it should be a mechanism for you to raise your hand, and I'll come to you and let you ask your question or comment. And if when I come to you, just announce your first initial, last initial, and the state you're calling in from so we can keep everybody's identity discreet on the show. But, yeah, they want to know, if, with the game on the line, who would you want playing for you, Joe Montana or Tom Brady? They were both excellent. One was before the other. One probably mimicked the other. You're talking about Tom Brady, who's from that area, if I'm correct, who's from up in that area, Santa Clara or somewhere up that way, around the 49ers franchise. He grew up that way. So he probably grew up watching Joe Montana. He probably grew up looking at Joe. Or at least, you know, if Joe might have been a little bit just, you know, if Joe might have had retired already before he started watching it real good, I know, you know, he definitely probably was looking at the era of Steve Young, because me and Tom Brady are only a couple years apart. So if I know of Joe Montana and Steve Young, I'm quite sure he knows of Joe Montana and Steve Young, definitely Steve Young. But I think he's still old enough to know about Joe Montana. So he probably grew up idolizing Joe Montana right along with Steve Young, but we're talking about Joe Montana. That's who they're comparing him to. Who would you rather have? Who would you rather have with the game on the line, Joe Montana or Tom Brady? Well, you know, I just think it's an unfair question, because I think that they both could do the same thing. Joe Montana knew how to take a team downfield. He knew how to use his weapons to take guys and drive his team downfield. He can drive them downfield 100 yards. Tom Brady can drive them downfield 100 yards. But we can also throw people like John Elway and Steve Young in that conversation to drive their team down the field 100 yards, because those are the smart athletes that know how to use clock, knew how to use clock management, and also knew how to put the ball where the ball needed to go. They could use their weapons. They could read the defense and use their weapons. You know, they used all their gifts. But Tom Brady, just like Joe Montana, both of them were cerebral guys. They knew where to put the ball. I think Joe Montana came out of Notre Dame, cerebral college. Got to be smart to go there. And if you're smart enough to go there, you're probably 9 times out of 10 a smart player on the football field. Tom Brady, cerebral guy, went to Michigan. Got to be a smart guy to go there in most cases. Cerebral guy, also a cerebral guy on the football field. So all I'm saying is that the media experts, they ask these crazy, ridiculous questions. Who would you want? Joe Montana or Tom Brady? Who would you want? Who would you take? I take either one of them with the game on the line. Anyway, with that being said, we're going to get off into our music mix. Late Night Dog need to get a little coffee and take a break. And we're going to come back in about 7 minutes or so, 6 or 7 minutes, somewhere, and then we'll be right back. Stand by. to the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Yes, yes, we just found out this morning again, breaking news, that the GOAT, Tom Brady, decided to call it a quit. It's across the monitor, Tom Brady retires. Tom Brady announced his second retirement from the NFL at age 45, quarterback coming off his first losers, ranked third in passing yards and first in attempts. So, yes, it's official, people. The GOAT has called it a day. Sad day. But everybody got to hang it up at some time. Everybody got to hang it up at some point in their career. And unfortunately, it was Tom Brady's time today. It was his time today. Some of the media experts are saying over the on the monitor that maybe Tom Brady, somebody came to him and kind of pulled his coattail and told him, my man, it's time. It's not the fact that you can't still play. You can still play, but you're just not you. You're not you anymore. You can still play, but you're not you anymore. So maybe somebody kind of came to him like that. And so, maybe somebody came to him like that. You know, it's their time. You know, they're saying Tom Brady announced his second retirement, finished his career with 7 titles, won the first 3 championships with the Patriots alongside Teddy Bruschi. Teddy Bruschi being one of the media experts out there today. Again, breaking news, Tom Brady announced his second retirement, finished his career with 7 titles, won first 3 championships with Patriots alongside of one of the media experts that's still out there today, Teddy Bruschi. Closed his career with more Super Bowl titles, 7 than any single franchise. Tom Brady announced his second retirement from NFL at age 45, closes his career with more Super Bowl titles, 7 of them than any single franchise. So his accolades are second to none. His accolades are second to none. All the, you know, this is breaking news all across the monitor. Every media expert is talking about this. Tom Brady announced retirement after 23 seasons, 7 Super Bowls. How would this impact the offseason quarterback market? How would this impact the offseason quarterback market? I know that Tampa Bay is going to need a quarterback. I mean, since Tom Brady is gone, they're gonna need a backup. I don't know currently who the backup is for Tom Brady with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but I think they should be in the market to try to draft somebody. Like I've been saying, you know, they can probably get somebody from the FCS level. You know, the guy from Infinite Word, he looked good. The guy from the quarterback from North Dakota always looks good, and the FCS Division I champion, South Dakota University Jackrabbits, they should have someone out there that looks good. I even think that Sacramento State, I think their quarterback might be a candidate as well, because they put up a lot of points right along with in their contest against Infinite Word, and the quarterback from Infinite Word really looked good in the FCS playoffs against North Dakota. So I think that they can, out of those five teams I just mentioned, well, 4 teams, Sacramento State, South Dakota University, which is the FCS Division I champions, and then we got who else? Incarnate Word and Sacramento State. I think those 4 teams should be able to be able to produce 4 good quarterbacks in the market, since Tampa Bay. Because Tampa Bay is probably going to need one. I would probably start looking there if I was Todd Bowles and the offensive coordinator. Start looking there. I don't even know if there's an offensive coordinator currently with Tampa Bay. I don't know who the OC is, because they got rid of Byron Leftwich. They relieved him of his duties, probably so he can go somewhere and find a head coaching job. But he's not the offensive coordinator anymore, so he won't have a say on the quarterback search, because he's no longer with the team. Yeah, again, across the mind of breaking news, Tom Brady announced his retirement after 23 seasons, 7 Super Bowls. How will this impact the offseason quarterback market? Definitely, if you'd like to call into the show and give us your take on that, we'd love to hear it. call in the area code 515-602-9687 and put your hand up in the queue, and I'll come to you, and you can talk to us about it. For those of you just tuning in, you're listening to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, that's WBEST, Chula Vista, California, and our topic is Tuesday night NBA action recap. The hosts will debate pro armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love, and also the episode topic in front of a live global listening audience. Topics to include, but not limited to, Lakers versus the Knicks. We went over that. Lakers defeated the Knicks last night. Scores from the NBA. We went over our NBA scores. Then NCAA scores is coming up. NHL scores are coming up. And breaking news from the NFL, which we've just been going over, breaking news for Tom Brady all morning. And also breaking news from MLB. We don't have any MLB breaking news besides here locally by our San Diego Padres Fan Fest on Saturday. I believe our San Diego Padres are going to be doing their Fan Fest Saturday afternoon, I think from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m., something like that, or 12 p.m. to 6 p.m., I can't remember. But I did see last night downtown that the lights were bright in Padre Stadium in Petco Park. The lights are on. The lights are back on, people, in Petco Park for all you baseball fans here in San Diego. I saw the lights on last night. They obviously are getting the stadium ready for Saturday. But to do the Fan Fest, and they actually had to put a cap. They had to put a cap on the tickets because I guess it was so pretty much sold out. They had to put a cap on the ticket sales, something like that. But also across the monitor, we had this morning, you know, two hires. D'Amico Ryans got hired for the Houston, Texas job, and since it's that's a big thing for us, since today is Black History Month. The first day of Black History Month, that's the African-American signing, D'Amico Ryans, former defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers. D'Amico Ryans, he had a solid defense with the 49ers all season. So he got the job for the Houston Texans, and he's going to be the head man over there, D'Amico Ryans. He's an African-American coach, so that's one position filled by African-American. But His story is kind of, the hiring over there is kind of, how would I say it? I would say strange, but, and I don't want to say strange or surprising. It's just controversial hiring there. Because back in the day, the owner, I believe his name was Steve McNair, not the Steve McNair that played football at Alcorn State. Not him and the Tennessee Titans and the Baltimore Ravens. Not that Steve McNair. Not Air McNair. I'm talking about their owner, the McNair family. The owner, I believe his name was also Steve McNair or something McNair. But he was the one that made the statement, you can't let the prisoners run the farm. And that blew up to where people took that as like having a racial undertone, being so many African American players are in the NFL. A lot of the media experts felt like that had some racial undertones to it. You can't let the prisoners run the farm. And this is speaking in regards to players, I guess, wanting more. What was that about? I think it was about kneeling for the flag, kneeling during the national anthem when Colin Kaepernick was protesting, and then other teams started following suit, and they asked the owner of the Houston Texans, how did he feel about it? And he made the statement, I'm correct, don't quote me on this, but he said something to the fact of, well, you can't let the prisoners run the farm. And they kind of looked at it like, what is he saying? Is he saying since he owned the team, he's the warden of a prison, and all his players are the prisoners, and they not going to run things around here. I'm going to run it. And everybody going to stand up for the flag whether they want to or not. So he took a lot of flack for that. And I think they fined him and probably asked him to issue an apology or something. I can't remember. But I believe that was the storylines there. So I'm just saying that D'Amico Ryans being hired there, I think it's a good thing because they kind of like let the fans know and let the media experts know that the McNair ownership, the McNair family, I'm assuming the ownership, they don't mind giving an African-American coach the reins to run things on the football field. At the same time, this is their second minority hiring because they did have Lovie Smith last year. I think Lovie Smith might have started off as an assistant for them and then wind up just getting the interim job and then wind up getting hired in as a full-time coach. And I think he's been there for at least two seasons as the official head coach. They relieved him of his duties. But they turned around and brought in another African-American. So, I mean, I think that's big of the McNair family, their ownership group, because they've given two great African-American coaches an opportunity. And again, D'Amico Ryan was a great defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers. The media experts were saying that he was highly sought after. So he's there. Then you got Lovie Smith before him, who was a great defensive coordinator great defensive head coach who went to the Super Bowl. And he went to the Super Bowl and he coached against another African-American in Tony Dungy. That was the first Super Bowl where you had two African-American coaches running things on the football field when the Chicago Bears played the Indianapolis Colts. I believe Tony Dungy won that one with the Colts over Lovie Smith and the Chicago Bears. I believe that was the last time the Bears had went to the Super Bowl and probably was the last time the Colts went to the Super Bowl as well. Nope, I'm incorrect, because the last time the Colts went to the Super Bowl was against the Saints in the 2009-2010 season against the Saints. That was the last time the Colts went. And I'm trying to remember if Tony Dungy was the coach then. I don't think he was. I think he had already left coaching, and Jim Caldwell might have been coaching that one. There was another great African-American coach. And I'm just speaking of that since it is Black History Month today. Another hiring that we had was Sean Payton getting hired on with the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos ownership, they made an official offer, and I think an agreement has been made with Sean Payton as of today. The agreement has been made with both parties. So the ownership group and Sean Payton, former coach of the New Orleans Saints, has reached an agreement for Sean Payton to be the new coach of the Denver Broncos for the 2023 season. So that's big news, and I just hate that he didn't come back to the Saints. The Saints still had the rights to him, so they had to do a trade. They gave Sean Payton allow Sean Payton to take the job with the Broncos, and we're going to get a first round pick this coming up draft and a second round pick in the draft for 2024. So I think it's like one first round pick this draft and two second round picks next draft. So, you know, I guess we got a little something back for him, but no player can replace the offensive mind of a Sean Payton. I just really wish he'd have came back home to New Orleans, but I know sometimes you just gotta have a fresh start somewhere else. I don't think it was nothing personal why he didn't want to come back to the Saints, but I just think that, you know, sometimes people just have to have a fresh start to their situation. People just need a fresh start, fresh voices in the locker room, fresh players, fresh ownership group. And big shout outs again, since it's Black History Month, big shout out to Melanie Hobson, a financial guru, financial expert, who's part of the ownership with the Denver Broncos. And a lot of you may know Melanie Hobson from being on CBS Morning News. She used to come on there a lot, giving her financial expertise. She's a part of that ownership group. And I think also Condoleezza Rice, I forgot her position that she had with, I believe she was President Bush, is cabinet. She was in the cabinet for the President Bush, the younger President Bush. She was on his staff. Condoleezza Rice, who's a big football fan, if I'm remembering correct. I think she's a big Alabama fan because she's from Alabama, if I'm remembering right. But that ownership group has Condoleezza Rice and Melanie Hobson on it. Two two high level character African-American women. And I'm saying that I'm emphasizing this today because it is Black History Month starting today. Across the monitor, reports are Broncos reach a deal. Broncos and the Saints reach a deal to make Peyton head coach. How will Sean Payton and Russell Wilson fare in Denver? Again, reports are the Broncos and the Saints reach a deal to make Peyton head coach. How will Sean Payton and Russell Wilson fare in Denver? I'm gonna be honest, people. I don't really know how I can see it working, because Sean Payton is used to having a quarterback like a Drew Brees, who was a short quarterback, but he was a passing quarterback. Russell Wilson is a short quarterback who can pass, but he chooses to be a running quarterback. And it hasn't worked so well with him this year, trying to keep him in the pocket and make him a pocket passer and not allow him to just play like Russ plays. You know, like how they used to say, let Russ cook. They have, you know, Denver hasn't been allowing Russ to cook. So I'm kind of like trying to see if this is going to be a good fit. I really think that Sean Payton should draft a quarterback in the draft. Even though I know we're paying a lot of money to Russell Wilson, meaning the Denver Broncos, you're paying a lot of money to Russell Wilson, but I think that you should still draft a quarterback, and we may need to unload Russell Wilson after this year. You may need to unload Russell Wilson after this season coming up. I keep making mistakes saying we because I'm so used to Sean Payton being our coach for the Saints. I mean, Sean Payton always going to be family in New Orleans. And so I keep saying we, but I have to correct myself. They need to probably draft another quarterback coming out of the draft, somebody that's going to push Russell Wilson to step up to the plate and do what he needs to do. Whether that's going to be staying in the pocket, running the ball, or just, you know, doing run-pass option. Whatever him and Sean Payton figures out for the offense is going to need to work, because I'm going to tell you right now, the top receiver they got, Jerry Jeudy, he's not happy there. He's not happy there. He's not happy with the way Russell Wilson was playing. It was just a lot of tension between the quarterback and the wide receiver based on what the media experts are saying. Don't quote me on it, but I feel like the media experts were kind of like correct on it. Jerry Jeudy and Russell Wilson was just not seeing eye to eye on the way the offense was being ran. Because Jerry Jeudy's like, I'm open downfield. Why are you not getting me the ball? Why are you not getting me the ball? Why can't you get me the ball? Why can't you make the correct reads to get me the ball? So I don't know if Sean Payton's going to be willing to trade Jerry Jeudy or keep him and try to make it work with the quarterback and the wide receiver. I'm just shocked that Sean Payton took this job, because he said one of the stipulations was he wanted to go somewhere that had a quarterback, good ownership, and a good culture. Well, the questionable part is, you took a job with a franchise that the quarterback has question marks now. Now, don't get me wrong. Back in the day when Russell Wilson first came in the league and he was with Seattle, he was a hell of a player and you couldn't stop him. He was a heck of a player and you couldn't stop him. Excuse me, people. I try not to curse on my show. Excuse me. I got a little excited there. But he was a heck of a player when he's with the Seattle Seahawks. As time go on and we all start to age, including Russell Wilson, he just hasn't looked like himself the last, I'll say, two seasons. And the argument in Seattle was that, well, he doesn't check his armband to make sure that the plays that we're putting in or the plays he's implementing, or if he's going to change up a play, you know, he needs to be changing it up on what we got on his armband, but he wants to just basically go rogue. He wants to go rogue pretty much and just run the play the way he wants to run the play, which usually winds up him taking off trying to run. And the argument was with Russell Wilson is I need an offensive line. From what I'm understanding, Russell Wilson's argument in Seattle was I need an offensive line that can block for me. Okay, he gets traded. He gets traded. They agree to trade him, and then he goes to Denver. We're thinking it's going to work out in Denver. Now, this is a man that went in early, went to the OTAs and all the – he went to the mandatory and non-mandatory workouts to get there and get a feel for all the guys. He looked excited, looked ready to go, but it has not worked this season because I believe Nathaniel Hackett, the coach that they fired in the middle of the season, Nathaniel Hackett, whatever he was doing, he was trying to make Russell Wilson what he didn't want to be, a pocket passer. It did not work. So I'm excited to see what Sean Payton going to be able to do with this fiasco. You know, again, Broncos and Saints reached a deal to make Payton the head coach. How will Sean Payton be able to, turn this thing around with Russell Wilson as a quarterback? I'm not seeing it really happen, people. I think that Sean Payton, if he was smart, and whoever he's bringing in as the OC, if they were smart, they'd be trying to get a quarterback in the draft. That's just my opinion. I'm gonna go to some social media posts, segueing back to the NBA. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on LeBron James. I've been carrying the torch as record holder for 38 years. That's a long time. I'm excited and relieved to pass it along to the next worthy recipient. LeBron earned it, and I hope he carries it even longer than I did. And that's credited to a media source, NBA on TNT, at NBA on TNT. I'm going to give them their credit for that. We also have breaking news again, D'Amico Ryans named head coach for the Houston Texans. The Texans have hired D'Amico Ryans to be their head coach. And that's a great story today for our African-American coaches because it is Black History Day and Black History Month, the start of Black History Month, rather. One of the media experts across the monitor was saying that, congrats, pleasure watching you compete, speaking of Tom Brady, go pull off the greatest comeback and get your wife back. That's one of our media experts across on our social media platforms. Well-known media expert, used to be on one of the shows, Speak for Yourself on Fox Sports. One of the former hosts on there was saying, congrats, pleasure watching you compete. Go pull off the greatest comeback and get your wife back. You know, one of our controversial media experts. We also had some breaking news. NFL head referee of the AFC Championship game, Ronald Tolbert, commenting on the NFL's investigation on his family member placing a wager on the game this morning. I had no knowledge that my son placed a large wager on the Chiefs until after the game. Ronald Tolbert on 10-14 The Juice Tuesday morning. So we're going to credit 10-14 The Juice this morning that Ronald Tolbert, the head official in the AFC Championship game, said that he had no knowledge that his son placed a large wager on the Kansas City Chiefs until after the game was over. That's something else, people, because the way that looked is some of those calls that came in that went the Chiefs' way against the Cincinnati Bengals, that type of stuff could make these officials look bad. And I don't like the way it's looking right now for Ronald Tolbert because Ronald Tolbert is an African-American umpire. I believe the gentleman that wears the white hat is considered the umpire, the head referee with the white hat. He's running the crew. He's the crew chief, if I'm correct. If I'm incorrect, please call in and correct me or debate me at 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687. Because I don't want to be saying the man's title wrong, but I believe the gentleman that wears the white hat in the football game is the head official, the umpire, the head official. You know, he's over all the referees, all the officials that are there. And if his son placed a large wager on the game, which I don't think that they're supposed, the family members, your immediate family anyway, are supposed to be placing wages on the game. You know, I don't think they're supposed to be able to be doing that because, you know, that kind of compromises his officiating, because it's like if he's calling the game the way it's supposed to be called, and if your son got a lot of money on the game and that bet is going to change his life, then, you know, you could possibly make a questionable call. I hate to look at Ronald Tolbert like that. I really myself don't feel that he would do something like that, because it's hard enough for African-American guys to get jobs in the NFL, at least jobs as the head official and stuff like that. You know, it's been done. He's not, I'm quite sure by now, I don't believe he's the only one that's been a head official on in charge of a crew. But I'm just saying, you know, it's hard enough for to get in that position in the first place. And then you have something like this coming out where your son, your immediate family placed a large bet on the game, and then the game officiating, the questions came out on the officiating for that game. Everybody know what I'm talking about. When the referee ran in and stopped the play where Cincinnati defensively stopped Kansas City and kind of shifted the momentum of the game, but then they came in and said, oh, no, that don't count. That don't count because we didn't start the clock. So erase that play and play it over. I don't think that the Chiefs converted again and got a first down, but it's just the mental aspect of it, how it changes a person's psyche when they just made a big play and then the defense make a big play. You take the play from them. It changes their psychological outlook on the game, even though they stood up again. But it's just a lot. So you got that. Then you got the unnecessary roughness call where Patrick Mahomes got pushed as he stepped out of bounds. I think that was kind of bang-bang. I think it's kind of bang-bang, unintentional, and it probably shouldn't have been called. Was it the right call? Yes, it was the right call at the wrong time. Don't pick the wrong time to make the right call, okay? Because you had already owed them a call from the previous play I was just speaking of. But when it comes down to them starting to investigate a family member for placing a large wager on a game, you know, I don't know. That's kind of like that's kind of questionable right there. What else we got? I'm going through my social media likes. The Utah Jazz has been paying homeless individuals to pick up trash after the games, per a source called At Overtime. And this came off of NBA Central as well. NBA Central and At Overtime. The Utah Jazz pays homeless individuals to pick up trash after games. That's a good thing, but kind of surprising. I'm like, I never thought of Utah being a city of homeless people. I never really saw that. Never saw Utah being a city where they had a homeless problem, but they are paying homeless people to pick up trash in the stands after the games. I mean, that's a bad thing. Maybe San Diego should convert to doing that as well. But these people out here, you know, sometimes, so our homeless community out here is a little bit different, because California is a state that they got a lot of programs. California is a state to where the weather, even when it's bad weather, is not bad as most places, you know. And our homeless community, they kind of like just, you know, as long as they're getting their funding, their check, you know, their stipend, as long as they're getting their Social Security, and as long as they're getting their general GR and food stamps, they're kind of okay out here. I don't think they would even go out there and take the opportunity to make a little extra cash and work cleaning up in the stands after the Padres play. I don't think they would do it. You know, so that's right downtown. Right downtown where all these tents are. I was down there yesterday night, and I mean, Tent City is still alive and well. But if you ask some of those homeless people that's out there to go and work, work a shift and pick up paper to make put a little money in their pocket, they're probably going to tell you to go to heck. They're probably going to tell you to go to heck. You know what I mean when I say go to heck. You know, because they're like, what I need to do that for? Why would I do that? You know, especially around this time, the first of the month, you know, money hits the beginning of the month. Like Bone Thugs and Harmony used to say on that song, it's the first of the month, you know? It's the first of the month. You know, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. It's the first of the month. Wake up, wake up, wake up. It's the first of the month. You know the song. You know the song. You follow hip hop. So, you know, it's the first of the month today, people. You know, trying to get these homeless people out there to pick up trash at Petco Park at the Fan Fest is probably going to be a moot point. You know, we got the big Fan Fest for the San Diego Padres on Saturday. And, you know, like I said, you know, trying to get them to pick up trash after these events in the stadiums like the Utah Jazz are doing, providing the income for homeless people. These homeless people in San Diego, they're a whole nother ball game. They're a whole nother ball game out here, people. But anyway, across the monitor, Lakers defeat the Knicks 129-123 in overtime. LeBron notched his first triple-double of the season, 28 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists, moves in the fourth all-time in career assists. He moves in the fourth time all-time in career assists. I think he passed up Mark Jackson and also Steve Nash. You know, Steve Nash, formerly of the Mark Jackson, formerly of the New York Knicks. It's amazing that he moved. It's amazing that he moved into fourth place over a New York Knicks great like Mark Jackson. And at the same time when he done that, he also passed up Steve Nash, who was with the Dallas Mavericks. The Dallas Mavericks Steve Nash was the Dallas Mavericks, and he also played for the Phoenix Suns as well. So, you know, LeBron James passed both of them up to go fourth all time on the assist board. One of those weird stats that I don't really care to follow. I got a caller in queue with your hand up. If you check your board, I think you tried to call me the other day, and your last four is 0437. You got your hand up, and I'm gonna give you a minute to take it down if you don't want to talk, so I don't come to you. But you have your hand up in queue. If you got your hand up in queue, raised hand, that means you want to talk to me. So I'm gonna do my ID check real quick, and then I'm gonna come to you and see if you want to talk. If you don't want to talk, just jump out of queue, and then you can just listen by streaming. But you got your hand up, so I want to come to you, so hopefully you can talk. But anyway, everybody, this is, that's just tuning in, this is the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. And time on deck is 9:39 a.m. It is 56 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny in San Diego, California. Our topic for today is Tuesday night NBA action recap. The host of the Bay Pro Armchair Quarterbacks, regarding the sport they love, and also the episode topic, which is Tuesday night NBA action recap. And we'll be doing that in front of a live global listening audience, which is you. Topics to include, but not limited to, the Lakers and the Knicks. We covered that. The Lakers defeated the Knicks in overtime. And other scores from the NBA that we went over. In NCAA, we didn't get to that today. NHL scores, we didn't get to that today. And breaking news from the NFL and Major League Baseball. Of course, we know major news from the NFL today was the great Tom Brady retiring. The GOAT has retired. He says it's official, and I do believe it. But with that being said, I'm going to go to 0437. Telephone number, caller 0437 is your last four. Your hand is up in queue, and I'm going to come to you at 5-4-3-2-1. Good morning.
How you doing?
How you doing today?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm calling to talk Lakers.
Okay, all right. What's your first initial, last initial, and the state you're calling from?
California, and it is TB.
TB from California. Thank you for calling in, TB. Almost like the GOAT Tom Brady, huh? Are you Tom Brady?
I guess not. Almost. Not quite. I'm not. Not quite there, but that'd be nice.
I almost thought I had Tom Brady on here for a minute, TV.
Yeah, I'm retired now, so I get to talk on these shows. I think that what's interesting about the Lakers, right, is like they started out 2-10, right? And you can't eliminate that, but if you do eliminate that, they're basically playing like a 3 or 4 seed. And as a Lakers fan, I was pretty much against doing any significant trade. But at this point, I mean, the Celtics are good. The Bucks are pretty good. Like, the Nets are kind of in, like, all over the place. Like, the West is all, like, the Nuggets are good, but the Nuggets aren't at a point where it's like there's some unbeatable team as the number one team in the West. The Suns aren't looking great. Like, I do feel like if the Lakers can pull some kind of, like, a Westbrook and a couple first-round picks for, like, Van Vliet and, like, Gary Trent Jr., like, I've kind of flipped on what I actually think the Lakers, if Anthony Davis and James can stay healthy, to be extremely clear, if either one of those are out, they're screwed. But if both of them can stay healthy, I actually think with, like, the Schroeder signings, with the Thomas Bryant signing actually looking pretty good, which the Lakers are not getting credit for, those are two pretty much, like, home run, like, minimum signings. I think if they can move Pat Bev and Westbrook and the picks and get in, like, two legitimate, maybe even three, like, legitimate players, like, I actually think, and I feel like I'm going to knock on wood when I say this, I don't think it's insane to think that they're title contenders. Am I being nuts here? Like, or it feels like they're not that far off.
I kind of agree with most of what you're saying. Definitely if AD hadn't went out when he went out, I feel like they would have, their record would have been a whole lot better. I'm going to say at least a 6 seed, because the AD was putting up 40-some points a game, consecutive games. Then all of a sudden, he goes out. And then they go back into that hole. But when you had, but I think the Westbrook, getting rid of Westbrook, I think it would disrupt it. I think Darvin Ham has done a great job in having a big three in AD, LeBron, and Westbrook. But all three of them are not on the court all the time as starters. They're still bringing Russ in as a sixth man off the bench. But it's working. It's working by them doing it that way. So I'm going to be honest. I think it would be a mistake to let him go. Now that AD is back, I think it would be a mistake to let him go. Now that he's trying to get back, I think he played last night, if I'm correct. But the thing about it is, I think Pat Bev can go. I think Scottie Pippen Jr., being a young player, he can go. And then maybe they can bring somebody else in by giving away a pick or something, and bring somebody else in. They already added Rui Hachimura. They already added him. He'll eventually start doing what he's doing. I think he had about 13 points last night. I think something like that. That's his average anyway. So they got another big man, Bryant. He's been playing well. So I think if they can move Pat Bev, a young player like Scottie Pippen, I mean, he's got the DNA, move him somewhere else, I think they can bring in one more player. And I think they could, you know, they definitely can make a play-in tournament. If not, jump up into the seventh seed, sixth seed. What do you think?
So with Westbrook, here's where I'm torn. First off, that guy was crapped on so hard last year that I think we need to give credit where credit is due. He went to the bench. He agreed to be the sixth man. He didn't complain at all. And not only has he not complained at all, he's given it 100%. And he has gone from what is a massive negative to a break-even player, in my opinion. I think he still puts up stats that make you think he's doing more than he is. I still think in the playoffs, he's a disaster. Teams will play off him. He doesn't play defense. He's just not with the Lakers. Like, LeBron James, when you have him and you're in the playoffs, you just don't need Westbrook, who needs the ball constantly. Before I say we should get rid of him, I want to give him credit to say that I think he went from, at the end of this year, what I assumed he might be out of the league, to certainly playing his way onto many different teams who I believe will value him as a sixth or seventh man going forward. That being said, when you have LeBron James playing like this, when you have Anthony Davis, you want to surround them with defense and shooting. And Westbrook doesn't provide either of those. And I don't necessarily know if what he – like, his plus-minus numbers are still really bad. Like, he's still – like, when he's out there, it's still worse than better. And I think you could do a lot better than him. Pat Bev, I think, can easily go. I don't think he's, like, a positive asset. I'm not sure. Like, he's basically just, like, contract filler for whatever you're attempting to get. But in my opinion, I think they can it depends on the move here, right? Like, it's not worth giving up these first-round picks for something random, right, that isn't going to do anything. But if you can move the needle here, I mean, like, the most important reason to move Westbrook is that the odds are you're not going to re-sign him, right? And so, like, that's a four, and they're probably only going to have 25 to 30 million in, cap space anyways, right? And so, like, Westbrook is a way to bring in between Beverly and him, that's a way to bring in $61 million of, like, usable future players, without needing the cap space, right? Because next year they're not going to be able to bring in as many guys. They're not going to have contracts, because without Beverly and Westbrook on the team, those are the two most tradable contracts. So that would basically leave you with LeBron and Davis, so you're probably not going to trade. And so Westbrook and Beverly, who are largely expendable, that gives you $61 million to go out and say, all right, like, we could actually field a team going forward that is like Van Vliet and Gary Trent Jr. and Rui, LeBron, Anthony Davis, and also sign a mid-level exception guy. Plus, we have a first-round pick this year. Like, it is necessary to me for this team going forward to use those contracts to make trades now, because if they don't, they don't really have a path to bring anyone in. Like, a $30 million cap space, yeah, you could bring in a couple of players, but I don't think I don't think that's as good as you'd think it is. So I think you need to use the contracts, both because in the short term, I think the Lakers are actually pretty good, and in the long term, to build your team. I think you need to use those contracts to build your team for the next few years. So that's
I agree with that. But what's Westbrook's contract? Who's going to, if you trade him, who's going to pick up that bill? Because he has a
well, you're
going
to have
contract.
To trade the two first round picks. You got to trade the two first round picks is the thing. Basically, Westbrook. What's weird about Westbrook is last year he was contract filler, right? I mean, like, remember last year people were complaining that we weren't giving him up to trade for John Wall and attaching a first round pick. So I think it's a different situation now. But basically, Westbrook. Imagine it that the real Lakers assets are those two first-round picks, right? Those are lottery tickets. If you're the if you're the Utah Jazz, or if you're the Toronto Raptors, you want to place a bet that Anthony Davis is going to get hurt, LeBron James is going to be 42 years old, and the Lakers are going to be in a rebuild mode by the time those 2027 picks hit, right? Those are big-time assets. Those could be top five picks. If you're the Lakers, you need to be careful trading those. And that's why you don't just trade those for a John Wall or for a random guy. Like, you need to make sure you are building your team properly to surround your stars with real players. And so they're right to be careful. They're going to take this down to the wire. But in general, I think they'd be making a huge mistake by not using these contracts to trade now, because I don't think it's about Westbrook. Someone will take Westbrook if you give them enough assets, because you're basically just saying, all right, as opposed to Van Vliet and Gary Trent Jr., take these two first-round picks and Westbrook. I don't know if they could pull that trade off, I would do it in a heartbeat, in my opinion. I don't know if the Raptors would do that. But in general, like, if the Lakers can stay healthy, which is a giant if, I actually kind of I feel like they should make a move here, and they'd be making a mistake if they did not.
Okay, now let's say things after the trade deadline on February 9th, this has not happened. This move has not happened. Do you still think that this is if AD can stay healthy going down the stretch, LeBron stay healthy going down the stretch. Russell Westbrook stays an excellent sixth man. Do you think that they are still, at least with this team as it is now, a play-in tournament at least?
Sure, they could finish as the 10th seed. They could finish as the 10th seed, but, like, you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Like, you shouldn't be aiming to be a play-in 10th seed, right? Like, you want to be a championship. I mean, like, I'm just going to here. Let me open up the standings, NBA standings.
And I'm only asking that question because I feel like if they didn't have, like you said, if they didn't have the slow start, they, like you said, it probably would be a 10th or 8th now if they didn't have a slow start.
For sure. I mean, like, I guess just imagine if they could throw out a lineup, and I'm just going to throw this out there. Imagine they could throw out a lineup, a starting lineup of Van Vliet, Gary Trent Jr., Rui Hachimura, maybe Lonnie Walker, LeBron and AD, Schroeder coming off the bench, Austin Reeves coming off the bench, Thomas Bryant coming off the bench. I mean, like, if I tell you that's the lineup, and then I told you the Lakers beat the Nuggets, like, would you be blown away? Like, would you be stunned? No, you'd be like, oh, that's a really good team.
Let me play devil's advocate for a minute. Let me throw something else at you. Let's look at the LA Clippers, crosstown rivalries. Can we do business? And I'm a Clippers guy. I'm a Lakers guy, too, but I'm also a Clippers guy because they came from San Diego, which is where I'm at. Now, let's do devil's advocate. If we could make a deal with the Lakers, what would you want versus how would it look? Go ahead.
Oh, a deal with the Clippers and the Lakers?
Yeah. How would it look? Who are y'all giving up? Who are we giving up?
God, I don't think we have anything because you guys are a win-now team. So, like, we don't have anything good to offer in terms of players, right? Like, we need every player we have. So, like, if I looked at the Clippers, like, you're not going to like anything I'd throw out because, like, basically what I would say is the Clippers' issue right now is they have too many players, right? If I'm the Clippers, they have too many good players. Like, you have Robert Covington who's getting, like, you know, he's getting DNPs. Like, that guy should be playing 30 minutes. If that guy was on the Lakers, he'd be playing 35 minutes a game, and he's getting DNPs on your team. You have Terrence Mann, who would be getting 35 minutes on the Lakers. You have Nicholas Batum, who would be getting 35 minutes on the Lakers. You have Norman Powell, who would be getting 35 minutes on the Lakers. So you have all these guys. You have an embarrassment of role player riches. But the problem is like, I don't really think, like, all we have to offer you is picks. And if you're the Clippers and you have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and you have this amazing role player team, like, you're not looking to trade with the Lakers. If I'm the Clippers, I'm trying to package all those guys up. Like, I'm trying to take the excess. I'm trying to package up maybe Covington and Marcus Morris and try and get back, like, you know, like a third guy. So, like, the Clippers and Lakers, I don't think there's a trade there that makes sense for either of them. The Clippers have a bunch of players AD, the Lakers would want.
They wouldn't send AD? They wouldn't send AD over and say, send over, who is that, Mann? Get Mann. Send AD over there, and then maybe some picks?
Nah. Well, first off, the Clippers don't have any picks because they traded them all for Paul George. So the Clippers don't have any picks. And I think AD's worth, like, a lot more than
that.
Like,
young, but he's up and coming, though.
Yeah, but AD's, like, when AD's on the court, like, and granted, that's, like, availability is a skill. So, but when AD's on the court, the man's, like, a top eight player in the NBA. Terrence Mann is, like, you know, he's a role player. Like,
I think he's going to
there's no deal there. I don't think there's a deal there. Like, I don't find Terrence Mann to be particularly – I don't think he's in the same stratosphere as Anthony Davis.
Okay.
I mean, the guy's averaging – he's doing 23 minutes a game. He's averaging 8 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. Like, he's just not – I mean, like, that's, he's not in the, even the stratosphere. Like, you'd have to
– Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. Well, look, we're going to have to do a hard wrap on the show, but definitely call in at any time, and we can keep on back. We got a whole lot of NBA stuff coming up because it's NBA time now. Football is going away, so definitely call back into the show, and I thank you for calling, man. TB, I thank you for calling.
Thanks, man.
Even though you were tired this morning, I thank you for calling into the show. Yes, that was a man, another guest sports contributor, pro armchair quarterback, TB, calling in from Los Angeles. I believe Los Angeles, but he's here in the state of California. TB from California calling in to the show and giving his insight on his Lakers. So, yeah, we played a little bit of devil's advocate trying to see was it a possible trade there between the Clippers and the Lakers and stuff like that and you know, what the Lakers need to do. So I appreciate you, TB, for calling in. Definitely call back in again. But I want to remind everybody, because it's the end of the show, I got to do a hard wrap. I want everybody to stay light, not darkness, be love, not hate. Remember, there's only one race, just the human race. Make sure you get your flu shots. Make sure you get your flu shots. Make sure you get your flu shots. Make sure you get your COVID-19 booster. Keep your mask handy in crowded spaces, definitely on public transportation. And in the grocery store and stuff like that, if it's a lot of people, keep your mask in crowded places. And make sure you got your hand sanitizer, you know, because it is cold in the flu season. All this RSV stuff going around affecting our children. So just make sure you keep your hand sanitized, keep your hand clean at all times as much as you can. With that being said, pray for peace around the world. Pray that this war in Ukraine stops. And I want to also say to all our African-American listeners, happy Black History Month. And I'll have some more outstanding people to talk about in Black history, in corporate America, and in sports as we go through the month. So with that being said, again, thanks to TB from California to calling in to the show, talking all things. And with that being said, we're going to set Black Fade on, and I'll see you guys tomorrow, God willing. Have a great day.